welcome to the Gregory Neesmith Show. Shout out to all the underdogs, to my people, and to the occasional Trump supporter that accidentally finds this show. We are going to get personal, because what we do here every week at the Gregory Neesmith Show is we get personal about the news and about the culture. And to take you on that journey this week, you have your host, Gregory Neesmith, entrepreneur, on-air personality, consultant, coach, and into spreading special stuff, and founder of the Underdog Stuff Company, too. And shout out to the team, which isn't in today. They are out making things happen in the world. Shout out to Asha Davis and to Kirsten Magwood. It's just me and you today. As a result, please comment on Facebook Live at facebook.com/Gregory Neesmith. Appreciate your comments. And during the breaks, I will take a look, then read them, and we will get into a conversation on there. But because I'm holding it down in the studio today by myself, call too, because it's so much easier for me to interact with you when you are on the phone lines with me. We can talk it out on talk radio. And the phone number to call in is area code 212-650-6903. That's 212-650-6903. Let me say it again so that me and you and me can talk it out. 212-650-6903. Let's get personal about the news and the culture. Today's show is called Episode, Are You Sure About That? You know, because we get to be very careful, very particular, very attention to detail about what we say. And when we say something, you say something, I say something, someone else says something, we get to go, are you sure about that? Not even from a place of, I don't believe you. We need more people. I need to see the receipts. Just because I just want to make sure about that. Because there's a saying that sticks and stones might break my bones, but words will never hurt me. But that's not true. Words matter. Words can hurt. Words can drive people to all types of actions and feelings and perceptions. So today we're going to talk about, are we sure that Jemele Hill was right about Donald Trump? She said some things about him. We'll talk about it. Also, are we sure that we should be watching NFL football games today? And especially if you're like me, a black man. Are we sure that the delegation wants to trade Omarosa? Don't worry, it all makes sense once we get to that part of the show, what I mean by that. And then, are we sure we should eat before we go to the cookout? Last week, we talked about life lessons that one can learn from the black cookout that actually apply to everyone in all of life. And I got to thinking about a few more over the week that I want to share later in the show. And you can confirm whether or not I should be, and you should be sure about some of those rules. Like I said, taking your phone calls, 212-650-6903, and also your online comments. I believe we might have someone on the line now, and I'm going to attempt to bring them on. Caller, name and where you're calling from.
Hi, Deborah from Manhattan. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Fine. Listen, you know, I think that you should watch as much football as you can. I really do.
Okay.
I mean, they put in $8 million for the Republicans. Donald Trump got in. I think you should watch as much as you want to watch. And every time somebody pulls you aside, or your son aside, or your daughter aside, you can thank yourself for that. That's all I'm saying. Have a good day.
Deborah, appreciate you. And I believe we may have one more caller in line. Name where you're calling from. Name where you're calling from. All right, we might have lost that other caller. And shout out to Deborah for calling in and letting us know how she feels. I will let you know how I feel about the NFL and whether or not I am sitting out this season or not. Shout out to Deborah. All right. First story, though. I do want to talk about sports, politics, race. They kind of intertwine. We'll start off with this first story, and then we will get into the NFL. So there's a few, let's call it rules or ways that I learned from some of my years in marketing, where it was often said that whoever's number one doesn't talk about whoever's number two or number three or number four. Whoever the leader is in any given space or industry, that brand, that person doesn't address or talk about the others because they're number one. For example, if I was to challenge Jay-Z to a battle rap or release a diss track, and let's say by some crazy chance that people actually heard it and listened to it, and then ask Jay-Z, is he going to respond? I would assume, because he's number one, because he's the lead, he would just keep it moving. He's not going to address me, give me any publicity, any acknowledgement. Who am I? I'm a radio host. I'm not a rapper. Jay-Z should just keep it moving. In sports, and I love playing sports. Basketball actually is my favorite sport to play, followed by tennis. In basketball, we have a unwritten rule. One shall never talk trash talk, to someone they are better than. So if, and I'll use an extreme example here. Let's say I'm playing pickup basketball with my little cousin who's 10 years old, who I'm clearly physically bigger than, skill-wise better than. I wouldn't start making baskets and like talking trash to him, saying that he can't beat me, he needs to up his game. I wouldn't do that. For one, it's just mean. And for two, it's a code. You don't talk trash to those that you're better than. In the political space, it's often an unwritten rule that if you are the leader, and in this case, the lead would be the president of the United States, or at least it's a place where we're supposed to have very distinguished leaders. You are a person with a lot of power. You are, to use the basketball analogy or the marketing analogy, you are the number one. And so if people say things about you, you should likely keep it moving. Let it be. Because you are more powerful, you are the number one, you are the lead. Well, as you would expect, when they say everybody's taking shots at the leader, it should come as no surprise that people make comments about number 45, about the Twitter in chief, about Agent Orange, about Donald Trump. Just like people made statements, called him names, said things about President Barack Obama when he was in office. And if you think back, you probably find it hard to recall when President Obama would specifically address any of the haters, because he was following the unwritten rule of like, when you're number one, when you're the lead, when you're the one with the most power, you keep it moving. It's just part of the job description that people are going to talk about you. Well, as you would expect, Donald Trump, who often attracts, how would I say, discourse, commentary, analysis, oftentimes not so friendly analysis. Well, somebody said something about him this week that got him all fired up. And that somebody was someone who I'm going to presume was probably one of the 94% of black women who attempted to stop Donald Trump from even being in office in the first place. 94% is a high number. Shout out to all the black women who voted for someone other than Donald Trump in the 2016 election. I know. You tried. The rest of us could have done better. Just as a quick aside, I was actually looking at some of the exit poll numbers from the election. And it's not because I can't let go of the election. It's, you know, the election's been front and center actually in the news lately because what happened is what happened. Hillary Clinton released a book called What Happened and got us all thinking about the 2016 election. And just some interesting exit poll facts were 52% of white women voted for Donald Trump. And the other total that was very shocking to me and worth the conversation at some point, either in the show or future shows, the white vote. 37% of white voters voted for Hillary Clinton and 57% Donald Trump. Very interesting that in a major two-party system that we have here in the United States and white voters being, let's call it about 70% of the electorate, to think that almost only one in three white people voted for a Democrat is, well, we'll get back to that another time. But someone said something about Donald Trump this week, who was one of likely the 94% of black women who was attempting to stop him from being in office. And that person was Jemele Hill. She said something about the president. And my question is, are we sure about that? Are we sure about what she said is right or a little off, kind of right, or just out of bounds altogether? If you haven't heard by now, Jemele Hill, who is a journalist and also an on-air personality for ESPN, which is a sports station primarily, had this to say in some tweets this week. She says, Trump's rise is a direct result of white supremacy, period. He is unqualified and unfit to be president. He is not a leader. And if he were not white, he never would have been elected. That's Jemele Hill exercising her First Amendment right to say something about our current POTUS. Trump's rise is a direct result of white supremacy, period. He is unqualified and unfit to be president. He is not a leader. And if he were not white, he never would have been elected. Well, are we sure about that? 212-650-6903. That's 212-650-6903. Or share your comments on Facebook Live and I will read them during the break. But are we sure about that? ESPN has something to say about it. They said, issued a statement going, we requested our employees refrain from editorializing politics, from personal attacks or drive-by comments regarding candidates or their campaigns. That was ESPN's stance. The White House had a response too. And it sounds like maybe one of you underdogs or my people or the occasional Trump supporter who finds the show by accident may have something to say too. I'm going to go to the phone lines and name and where you're calling from. Looks like we lost that caller. Please call back in and we'll get you on the air. So my question is, in the spirit of today's episode, are we sure about that? Are we sure about, is Jemele Hill right? Kind of right or way off? And like I said, ESPN had a comment basically saying the views of Jemele Hill don't necessarily represent the views of ESPN. And we would prefer that she and others just, you know, keep that to themselves. The White House had a response, though. Sarah Huckabee Sanders, who is the press secretary for the Trump administration and who speaks on behalf of the president, got a question about what does the president and the Trump administration think about Jemele's comments. Here they are.
Good afternoon.
I just wanted to read a comment from an influential African-American sportscaster from ESPN yesterday who said, Donald Trump is a white supremacist who has largely surrounded himself with other white supremacists. His rise is a direct result of white supremacy, period. He's unqualified and fit to be president. Do you have a reaction to that? Is the president aware of that comment? And
I'm not sure if he's aware, but I think that's one of the more outrageous comments that anyone could make, and certainly something that I think is a fireable offense by ESPN.
If the president was so clear, as you said, why do you think influential African-American figures are saying things like this?
I'm not going to speak for that individual, but I know that the president has met, again, with people like Senator Scott, who are highly respected leaders in the African-American community. He's committed to working with them to bring the country together. I think that's where we need to be focused, not on outrageous statements like that one.
What? Fired? It's come to that now? You say something about the president and their response is they now trying to tell private corporations who they should hire and fire? Come on, man. You got to have thicker skin than that. Also, as an aside, I love how the reporter goes, the esteemed reporter from ESPN. And she is. She's very good at what she does. She hosts a show with a gentleman named Michael Smith on ESPN every weeknight at 6 p.m. called The Six. Question, are we sure that Jemele Hill was right? Are we sure about Sarah Huckabee Sanders going that Jemele Hill should be fired? Now, like I said, it's a show for underdogs, for my people, and also for the occasional Trump supporter who accidentally stumbles upon the show. I know what a few of you might be thinking. Of course she should be fired. If not, it'd be a double standard. And nobody likes double standards because Kurt Schilling, former analyst and employee of ESPN, people are saying, well, he was fired for saying politically charged statements. Let me arm you out there for those who may engage in this debate today or next week or as the week goes on. Let me break it down. It's not a double standard. Kurt Schilling and Jemele Hill actually aren't exactly in the same situation, even though they're both known for being very political with statements they've said while they were employees at ESPN. So Kurt Schilling, back in 2015, was suspended from the network for posting a meme on Twitter comparing Muslim extremists to Nazis. Schilling later apologized for the tweet and called it a bad decision. And 100% his fault. That happened 2015. And guess what? Not fired. Let me repeat. Compare Muslims, extremists, and Nazis to each other. Not fired. Fast forward 6 months later. Kurt Schilling, back at it again during an interview, said that he believed that Hillary Clinton should be buried under a jail somewhere regarding her email scandal. Guess what happened to him? Not fired. Two offenses, not fired. Jemele Hill makes her first public comment about Donald Trump, albeit calling him a white supremacist, or at least rolling with some and not qualified. First offense, and yes, just like Kurt Schilling, not and should not be fired. You want to know when Kurt Schilling got fired? He got fired in April 2016 when he shared a Facebook post in response to North Carolina law that barred transgender people from using bathrooms that did not correspond to their gender assigned at birth, and obviously that's him making another political statement. So it was then, on his third strike, he was out. See, don't let people get you with the ESPN is a liberal station and it's a double standard. They're just protecting the black woman or the woman and she should be treated just like Kurt Schilling. Well, guess what? She is being treated just like Kurt Schilling. Kurt Schilling did something back in April 2015, wasn't fired. Jemele Hill did something for the first time this past week and was not fired and should not be fired. And as a quick aside, in terms of people who are calling ESPN a left leftist network. I want you to ask yourself, are you sure about that? And the one thing I want you to think about is that it was a network that was predominantly, and still is about sports, but predominantly employed white men. Talking, covering, commentating about sports. Over the years, they've made a strong effort to add diversity to their employees, to their on-air personalities, to add women. I think we all forget things like Title IX were put into place, that most sports, especially from the on-air personality standpoint, were dominated by males. Forget about their race, just dominated by males. And so ESPN has made an effort to have more female voices be heard, to have more minority voices, regardless of gender, be a part of it. So if that's considered moving to the left, and oh, remember that exit poll thing I mentioned the other day, earlier in the show, that 37% of white people voted for Clinton and 50-something percent voted for Trump? See, I don't like when we conflate moving to the left, which is a political discussion, with the moral discussion of embracing diversity. And so next time someone says that ESPN is being unfair, a double standard for Jemele Hill versus Curt Schilling, or they're moving to the left, just make sure you're sure about that. Because I'm not here to say that ESPN is moving to the left politically, but if being more diverse is moving to the left, well, then I'm all for it. With that, we're going to take a quick break. And then when we come back, I'll share some of the Facebook Live comments that we've had so far from the show. You can watch, because some people like to watch, on Facebook.com/Gregory Neesmith, GREGORYNESMITH. Or you can watch on WHCR.org. Or if you're driving around in your car in New York City, on WHCR 90.3 FM, the voice of Harlem. And we'll take your phone calls, of course, at area code 212-650-6903. More on Jemele Hill and Donald Trump. And still to come, are you sure about watching football? And are you sure you can't learn about life from the cookout? More of the Gregory Neesmith Show. Let's get personal about the news and about the culture after this break. Welcome back to the Gregory Neesmith Show. Let's get personal about the news and the culture. Today's title of the show. Are we sure about that? Like, you know, you sure? You positive? You stand by that? You co-signing? You with your bands and them on that? We're talking about a few topics in the news and the culture where the question is, are you sure? Right now we're talking about, are we sure about Jemele Hill and her comments about POTUS, Agent Orange? She said some things about him not being fit, not qualified, rolling with some white supremacists. We'll get into that a little bit more in a second. But first, shout out to all the underdogs, my peoples, and any of the occasional Trump supporter that stopped through. Appreciate you. Shout out to Asha Davis, checking in from the West Coast. Shout out to Kirsten Magwood. Appreciate you. And Carla from the 215, which is, for all of you who know, is where I started, the City of Brotherly Love. Shout out to my city. Shout out to Carla. We appreciate you. And Carla, what's popping today is, are you sure about that? And what we were talking about is, are we sure about Jemele Hill being right, wrong, or kind of, sort of, almost right when she said Trump's rise is a direct result of white supremacy, period. He is unqualified and unfit to be president. He is not a leader. And if he were not white, he would never have been elected. The White House chimed in and said, fire her. The court of public opinion has chimed in, and they said, definitely fire her like you fired Curt Schilling. I've already debunked that that's not true. Curt Schilling said some things couple times, was not fired, wasn't fired to a third offense. Let's get our facts straight. Because, you know, before you say there's a double standard, make sure you're, you know, sure about that. All right. So I have a genuine question. Are we sure we should call Donald Trump a white supremacist? Now, and are we sure someone should get fired for saying what Jemele Hill said? I want to play a clip of Donald Trump talking about accusations he made about Judge Gonzalo Curiel. And then we'll get into, because I was like, I was scouring Google trying to get a sense of, you know, what is the definition of a white supremacist, of a white nationalist, of a bigot, of a racist? So we'll talk about that. But first, let's listen to Donald Trump, who himself has said some things that are just crazy. And here's one of them.
And you reject that. If you are saying he can't do his job because of his race, is that not the definition of racism?
No, I don't think so at all.
No?
No, he's proud of his heritage. I respect him for
that. You're saying he can't do his job because of it?
Look, he's proud of his heritage, okay? I'm building a wall. Now, I think I'm going to do very well with Hispanics.
Citizen.
You know why I'm going to do well with Hispanics? Because I'm going to bring back jobs, and they're going to get jobs right now. They're going to get jobs. I think I'm going to do very well with Hispanics, but we're building a wall. He's a Mexican. We're building a wall between here and Mexico. The answer is, he is giving us very unfair rulings. Rulings that people can't even believe. This case should have ended years ago on summary judgment. The best lawyers, I have spoken to so many lawyers, they said, this is not a case. This is a case that should have ended. This judge is giving us unfair rulings. Now I say why. Well, I'm building a wall, okay? And it's a wall between Mexico, not another country.
But he's not from Mexico.
In my opinion,
he's from Indiana.
He is his Mexican heritage, and he's very proud of it.
So that was Donald Trump saying that Judge Gonzalo Curiel couldn't cover the Trump University case because his parents are Mexican or Mexican ancestry, Mexican heritage. Sounds like a pretty crazy thing for someone to say. Now, here's Paul Ryan giving his analysis of Donald Trump when he literally said that this judge, who is an American, by the way, couldn't do his job because of his Mexican heritage. Here's Paul Ryan weighing in on how he would describe this. And ride with me here. We're going to come back full circle to, are we sure about Jemele Hill's commentary being right or not? Here's Paul Ryan giving his analysis of Donald Trump saying that the judge, Gonzalo Curiel, couldn't do his job because he was of Mexican heritage.
Hillary Clinton has called those racist comments. Do you agree?
No, I do think that those comments are racist comments. That's why I've disavowed them completely. What bothers me about the comments is it doesn't reflect who we are, what we think, or how we think as Republicans. It's antithetical to what we believe and our principles. And so hopefully he'll not only not continue to say these things, but learn from this and move forward and then offer the country a positive vision that's inclusive, that speaks to that people's higher ideals.
Explain what that means. It's not what we believe in. Because I think some people get confused about, they hear labels and all that. What to you is...
Jemele, as if I'm talking to Jemele directly right now, I'm not sure if Trump's a white supremacist, but I do have a Republican, not someone on the left, not Chuck and Nancy, who affectionately been known as Chuck and Nancy, but I'm talking about Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, the leaders in the Democratic Party and the House of Representatives and the Senate. They didn't say this. This is Paul Ryan, a Republican, saying that Donald Trump, when he made a statement saying that a judge couldn't do their job because of their Mexican heritage. Paul Ryan says that's textbook definition of a racist statement. What's a racist? To discriminate and have prejudice towards someone based on their race or ethnicity? What's a bigot? One who regards or treats the members of a group with hatred and intolerance? What's a white nationalist? One of a group of militant whites who espouse white supremacy and advocate enforced racial segregation? What's a white supremacist? A person who believes that the white race is inherently superior to other races and that white people should have control over people of other races. Jamel, maybe it was an overreach to call him a white supremacist, but I do think there are a few other definitions that probably could hold some weight. And my question to you out there, underdogs, is, are we sure that Jamel Hill got it right? Kind of right or not at all? And how would you describe Donald Trump? Should Jamel Hill keep her job? I'm going to go to the phone lines. Name where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Deborah from Manhattan.
Yes. Hello, Deborah. Comment or
hi. Comment. You know what? I was wondering, what would be the other name that you would call him? If what is her name? Jamel or Jamel? I don't want to mispronounce her name.
Jamel Hill.
Jamel. If Jamel Hill is wrong in calling him white supremacist, then what would you call him?
And you know what? It's the question that I still am struggling with. What I know for sure is mm-hmm. that he has been accused of, with some of his business practices, of doing things that would be racist. And I know for a fact, which is the clip I just played, he has said openly racist things.
Right.
And so, you know how they say sometimes people get overcharged and, like, you go for first-degree murder, but it should have been second-degree? Like, I don't know if I have enough evidence to call him a white supremacist, but I know for sure he has said, and then in his business practice, done things that are racist.
Well, he was willing to put some of your people to death, and we all found out that they were innocent. And even after he found out that they were innocent, he didn't even want them to be, he didn't even want them to receive any kind of financial, backing. He thought that was silly.
Yep.
Now, what if we had had the death penalty in New York? Five boys would have gone to the death chamber because of the fact that, you know, what if he had had the power to send them?
Yes, and so people who want to Google follow along.
No, but I'm saying this to you because I know that you're opening this up for us so that we can talk about it. But, you know, if that were your son, you wouldn't be so lighthearted about it. And other people on other stations, they're not very lighthearted about this. They are really after your behind. They are after you every day, all day. They are after you. This is not funny. And people should be behind Ms. Hill no matter what, because she's right. This man, he's not crazy. He's not crazy. Isn't that crazy? And I think people ought to find out why hasn't he had a checkup? Most people who run for president, they always find out whether or not they're well.
And he still hasn't done it. And
he still hasn't done it. And I mean, you know, you were just, you know, oh, he's Twittering today. You know, it won't be until it's one of yours. And then it'll be a problem.
Well,
when he says the American people, he's not talking about you.
Oh, well, he clearly is.
Even though you helped build this country.
More than helped.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, yes. No, you know,
you get where I'm coming?
He's
not talking about you. There is, when people say there's something wrong with him, yeah, there's something wrong. But, you know, a lot of times people have gotten to a point now where they use mental illness as a way for people to get away with things. There are a lot of people out here, they are mentally ill, and there are some people who are not mentally ill. They're just mean and they're evil.
And that are two things I think we can easily call him, are mean and evil.
And I'll tell you something else about him. He has a great affinity for people who are athletic. Anybody who has an intellectual bent, he's not too cool with them. If you go back to The Apprentice, I think it was the second year, if I'm not certain. That was before the stars had started coming on. And there's a man in Jersey who owns a corporation. He already had the money. And he actually, I mean, he was, I can't even say it any better. He was perfect in how he ran everything. I mean, like, he got along with everybody. He knew how to run a company. So I think that worked really well. And he looked over at one of his little flunkies on the side of the thing, and he said to him, "I cannot believe that he has more education than I have. Can you believe that?" Mm. And then he asked him, "Well, why don't you split? Why don't you split the money, or split whatever it is that, you know, you're going to get? Split it with this other girl who was so, you know, pleased." And he said no. But when he did, he won. He won. But it would have been so, like, in your face if he did not win, because he was that brilliant. But he did let him know. He did let Donald Trump know he was there, because it's good. It's good marketing, you know.
Yep.
But it was not because of the fact that he was ill-equipped, and he needed The Apprentice for that.
Yeah, no.
But anybody that is falling on their luck, if they're on drugs, or, you know, he loves that. He loves that. And then the black guy always, he's really a good guy. Yeah, when you're falling down and, you know, your face is on the cement, then he likes you. So I don't find him funny even a little bit.
No, not at all. And it's we're in a serious situation with him.
Yeah, we are. So you take it easy. Got to run. Have a great day.
All right. Appreciate you, Deborah. Thanks for calling.
I like your show.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And that was Deborah from Manhattan, and we appreciate her calling in and sharing her views. She also mentioned about we get to stand with Jemele Hill for her taking the stance that she had, for her having the opinion that she has. And I want to update folks on what's the latest with Jemele Hill's situation, especially in the context of Deborah's comment about we should really be standing by her because, you know, clearly Trump isn't necessarily standing for all of us. He may be standing for his base, but not all of America. It was reported that ESPN was going to take Jemele Hill off of her show that she's on with Michael Smith every weeknight from 6 to 7 p.m., either for an indefinite period of time or, let's say, to suspend her for a brief period of time. And it's been reported that Michael Smith, her co-host, said, "No, I'm not going to do the show if she's not there." Then word was ESPN reached out to a few other of its broadcasters to fill in for Jemele while they potentially took her off the show. And those other two broadcasters were like, "Nah, I'm not filling in for her." So shout out to Michael Smith, her co-host, and the other two reported ESPN personalities who said, "No, we're not sitting in. We're not carrying on without Jemele Hill." That is standing with your people. And so shout out to them. And it is my understanding that when tomorrow comes, Monday night at 6, that we will get to see Jemele Hill and her co-host Michael Smith hosting the 6, and that she will get to keep on keeping on, and that she will not, as Sarah Huckabee Sanders and the Trump administration want, she will not be fired. And just so you know, she also, Jemele, issued a statement related to all of this. And she said, "My comments on Twitter express my personal beliefs, and my regret is that my comments and the public way I made them painted ESPN in an unfair fight. My respect for the company and my colleagues remains unconditional." Shout out to Jemele Hill and her colleagues who stood with her. Wonder what would happen if some folks stood with Colin Kaepernick in the same way that Jemele Hill's colleague stood with her. We'll talk a little bit about NFL football and Colin Kaepernick in a second. But today's show, are we sure about that? And the question is, are we sure that Jemele Hill got it right? Are we sure that she should be fired? Are we sure that ESPN has launched a double standard, how they treated Kurt Schilling and they treated her? Are we sure that ESPN is some leftist organization that we should be afraid of or watching out for? I'm sure that Jemele Hill should keep her job. I'm sure that Donald Trump has said and done racist things. I'm sure that ESPN has not put out a double standard because Kurt Schilling got fired after three offenses, not after the one that Jemele Hill just did. And I'm sure ESPN has become more diverse, and I'm sure that some people conflate that with moving to the left, and it's not. With that, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk NFL football. Are you sure you should be watching it this Sunday? And we're going to talk about life lessons you can learn from the cookout, because I've learned a few, and I want to share them. More of your phone calls, area code 212-650-6903. That's 212-650-6903. Or your comments online at facebook.com/Gregory Neesmith. More of the Gregory Neesmith Show after this break. Welcome back to the Gregory Neesmith Show, a place for underdogs, for my people, and the occasional Trump supporter that accidentally finds the show. We appreciate you all. Let's get personal about the news and the culture. A couple of comments that have come in on Facebook Live that I want to make sure I read and get to. One of them is from Danny, who basically says that he doesn't believe that Trump is a racist, but he does believe he is definitely a narcissist and that he does things also to be liked and also does things to get votes. And there happen to be, for those who lean to the right, a pocket of voters in the Trump orbit that are likely or not likely that are white nationalists, that are white supremacists, that are neo-Nazis. And he seems to be a bit obviously hesitant to disavow them or do it so quickly and this and that. So Danny's point, he's saying that Trump may not be a racist and that literally his actions have been more because of his narcissism and also just wanting to be liked and also wanting to get votes. Let me know your thoughts. Call in at 212-650-6903 or you can comment on Facebook Live and get into a discussion. Is Danny right, wrong, somewhere in the middle? You know, the theme is, are we sure about that? Definitely engage in the conversation. Also, I see that there's a comment from Phil. Shout out to Phil. Shout out to the Travel Fam. And he wants to, I think, reference to knowing when are we going to talk football. And I will take a look at his comment in more detail. It's, you know, working the board, looking at the Facebook Live. But he does have a reference about football. And actually, let's get into football, and then we'll talk about Phil's comments. And I'll read it directly, Phil, in a second. All right. Shout out to Danny and to Phil. Today's episode, are you sure about that? Are you sure? You positive? You co-signing on that? You for real? You backing that up? You down with that? You sure? We talked about Jemele Hill and Donald Trump. Now we're going to talk about, are you sure you should be watching NFL football? You know, one of my favorite comedians, at least in his early years, he's had some drama probably the past 5 or so years, 10 years. But early on in his career, Cat Williams was one of my favorite comics. Now, all time, my list is probably Chris Rock 1, Dave Chappelle 2, you know, Eddie, when I think about his body of work in terms of Saturday Night Live, his movie career, like Trading Places, things like that, some of his stand-up like Raw, Delirious, probably be number 3 for me. That's probably like my top 3. Kevin Hart would probably get up into the 4th spot, but Cat Williams has one of my favorite stand-up specials, like specials of all time. and he talks about get you some haters. It's good for you. I am a believer that tension, at least the right amount of tension, is good. It helps us know that we're alive. I think that if every now and then you aren't polarizing or in a certain place that has people who either detract, disagree, or want to debate you, then I think that you aren't living. And we've all heard the saying that if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. It doesn't say stand for everything, but it says stand for something. Or in this case, kneel for something. I'm boycotting the NFL. I have not watched a single snap of the preseason or the current in progress NFL season. And if you haven't heard, Colin Kaepernick for the past year has been in the news for his peaceful and silent and legal protests for social justice, for better policing, ending police brutality, and specifically for black men, women, and children. And for those of you who may only have listened so far and haven't tuned in on the Facebook Live or on WHCR.org, you know, I start off the show, I let you know I'm an entrepreneur and I like to spread special stuff and consultant and coach, but I'm also black. And Colin's cause is personal for me. And so, yes, I'm boycotting the NFL until there's a significant change. And one of those would be just to hire someone who is qualified to work in the NFL would be a start. NFL quarterback for the New England Patriots, the defending Super Bowl champions, Tom Brady, known as the face of the NFL now that Peyton Manning has retired, someone that people admire, people would be likely interested in what he would have to say, but he is NFL football. And so you would think that he, like all of us, would at least have heard about the whole Colin Kaepernick situation. Well, here's Tom Brady answering questions about whether or not he pays attention to the Colin Kaepernick saga and the ongoing national anthem demonstrations around the league. Here's Tom Brady earlier this week on WEEI Radio.
Glad, or are you proud that none of your guys, none of your teammates sits down for the anthem?
I don't really pay attention, you know, to that. You know, there's probably a lot of things for me to think about at that time. But I haven't thought about that much.
Have you paid much attention to the Kaepernick stuff or no?
Not much. I mean, not this time either. I feel like my attention goes in a lot of places, so not much.
But you're kind of in that fraternity of QBs, you know, like the guys all look up to you. We've talked about Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers, and you've texted guys, other QBs. Did you have a good relationship with Kaepernick? I know you played him, but did you have any kind of relationship with him?
No, I don't know Colin very well at all. I mean, I've never really had a conversation with him.
The first thing.
I'm speechless. So let me collect my thoughts as we unpack what Tom Brady just said related to Colin Kaepernick. But first, shout out to all the underdogs and my people, and also the occasional Trump supporter that stopped through the show today. Appreciate you on Facebook Live. Shout out to Phil, who just mentioned that on ESPN2, the Canadian Football League is on. So for folks who want to watch some professional football, there's an option. And shout out to Asha Davis, who is part of the team who is a Canadian, so I'm sure she would be proud to hear that, because there's a lot of Canadians going, hey, we're looking really good for a lot of things these days compared to the United States. Universal health care, football, as Phil points out. Yeah. And for folks who want to watch football on Saturdays, they have college football. So there's some options. College football Saturdays. And as Phil pointed out, we can go to ESPN2 and watch the Canadian Football League. Or you can listen to the Gregory Neesmith Show. 1 o'clock kickoff happens right here, too, every Sunday, 1 to 3 p.m. And then instead of watching the pregame at 11 a.m., you can listen to Let Your Voice Be Heard here on WHCR 90.3 FM. And then after this show, you can still get your sports fix, listen to Overtime Radio with AJ and his crew. And then there's the Harlem Renaissance. And then there's Create Your Life series. You can kick off your Sundays here at WHCR 90.3 FM, the voice of Harlem. We have a caller on the line. Name and where you're calling from. Oh, and we missed that caller. Sorry about that. Shout out to Tanya from Harlem. Harlem in the building. Also, shout out to Harlem, because on my way home today, I will get the pleasure of walking back, and there will be the African American Day Parade going on Adam Clayton Powell. I live right near Adam Clayton and Frederick Douglass. Shout out to Harlem, and shout out to Tanya. Appreciate you always listening. Appreciate you calling in and letting us know that you are going along on the ride for today's show. Are you sure about that? Well, you know what? Tom Brady wasn't sure about much, because he claims he hasn't really paid much attention. He hasn't really focused on it. You know, they say oftentimes movements need allies. Clearly, Tom is not an ally, because he came off to me as very disingenuous and also very dismissive. Like, I don't really know him. I with the protests. Like, I just play football. Come on, Tom. You sure about that? You don't know nothing about this. So I looked online to find someone who was pro boycott the NFL and someone who was, yo, I'm just going to watch it because I am. So I found an article called A Black Person's Guide to Happily Watching Football During Boycott the NFL Era by Jason Johnson. And he gives a bunch of reasons why he is going to happily enjoy watching football as a Black man. And I wanted to highlight one of them and get your thoughts. Like, you know, Jason, you sure about that? One of his reasons, he says, everybody can draw a line in the sand, but this protest of the NFL is not the line I'm going to draw. He says, the NFL is like porn that everybody admits to watching. Millions of people consume it and enjoy it, and it's an essential part of the holidays. And at the same time, in order to enjoy it, you have to ignore the porn. That porn is based on a rampant misogyny, racism, and the exploitation of women and the poor, and that it encourages substance abuse, and that porn employees often incur lifelong physical ailments after a very short career. Jason Johnson goes on to say, sounds a lot like football, right? Here's the thing. I'm not going to challenge you not to watch porn, or even football for that matter. But if you take the slightest peek behind the curtain of most things you consume, television, clothing, food, you'll be horrified at the racism, misogyny, and the abuse that takes place. If you knew half the things that Coca-Cola has done, you'd spit out your Dasani. You can literally throw a ball at almost any corporate entity in America and scream in your best Ash voice, I choose you voice, and you'd find something worth boycotting for good reason. I'm not mad at you either. I'm just not choosing football. That's an excerpt from Jason Johnson's article, A Black Person's Guide to Happily Watching Football During the Hashtag Boycott NFL Era. You sure about that? I guess I get where he's coming from. And then I don't. For one, I'm happily can say that for someone who used to consume what I would say is a compulsive and exorbitant amount of adult internet porn and was able to really find out and explore how that just really wasn't serving me, wasn't good for me. I have actually not watched porn in almost 2 years and given that up. And I'm glad I have. And we can talk about that in more detail in another episode. Or you can go back to one of my past episodes called, I forget the title of it, but it's titled something like Sex, Fantasy, and Love. And I go a little bit more in depth to my beliefs and stance and how being porn free has been helpful in life. But I digress. But I've given up porn. And at this point, I've given up the NFL. And I'm actually okay with drawing a line in both of those. Because like I said earlier, to kick off this discussion, it's good to have some haters. It's good to have some tension. It's good to stand for something. You don't have to stand for everything, but it's good to stand for something. And especially if you know or you are a black person, man, woman, or child, this whole Colin Kaepernick thing is in reference to stuff we experience every day of our lives, in reference to policing and the criminal justice system. But, you know, that's his stance. Let me know. Are you watching the NFL today? First of all, you should be listening to the show or watching the show anyway. But if you are, call in or comment. Let me know why you're watching the NFL. And not from a place of I'm judging you or that you're doing something wrong. But I want to know. You know, help me understand. Maybe you feel just like Jason Johnson feels. But I also found an interesting article for someone who is pro boycotting the NFL. And it's called, If You're a Black Man Watching Football This Sunday, Here's 25 Things I Already Know About You, by Stephen Crockett Jr. And he kind of goes in. And, you know, I think he's making some fun of teasing, trash talking folks who are watching football today instead of boycotting, but also has some provocative thoughts inside of some of the satire too. So I'm going to read a few of them, because he goes, the NFL season is upon us. And if you are a self-respecting black man and you don't care because you're and you don't care that the football season has started because you're protesting the season because of the way the league has treated Colin Kaepernick, whose silent stance against the killing of unarmed black men and women and children has led him to being, as Steven says, whiteballed by the NFL. And he came up with a list of 25 things. I'm not going to read all 25, but I'll read a few of things that Steven says we will know about someone who is watching the NFL today instead of boycotting. One of them: that guy sprays cologne in the air and then walks through the cologne cloud. 25 things we know about black men who are watching the NFL football today: that they spray cologne in the air and then walk through the cologne cloud. Another one: they dry snitch on their brothers or sisters for having company in the house when mama wasn't home. Ooh, that hurts. I hope you weren't that person. Another one: they wear driving gloves. No comment. They own a pair of Under Armour sneakers. That ain't right. I mean, I don't own a pair of Under Armour sneakers, but, you know, shout out to people who do. I'm team Nike more than Under Armour. Hey, shout out to Steph Curry. Another one that Mr. Crockett points out that he knows about folks who are watching NFL football today: that they believe that the slaves who left the plantation were uncouth. And see, now it's starting to go in. He said that someone who's watching NFL football today, that they would have gotten on the bus during the bus boycott because their job is so far, and they didn't see how not riding the bus would stop anything, since we really should be boycotting the advertisers on the bus. Now, that's a pretty clever comment there. Because there are people saying that I'm going to watch the NFL anyway, because really the real boycott would be if we boycott the advertisers of the NFL, not boycott watching the NFL. It's an astute point there that he makes. He also says that if a black man is watching football today, that they probably read Jason Whitlock, who is known to go in on Kaepernick and anybody who is aligned with supporting not just Kaepernick, but, you know, I don't want to get caught up in about Kaepernick, but supporting the awareness and the need and the challenge of policing, about police brutality and about the criminal justice system, especially for African Americans or people of color. And lastly, he says that if someone is watching the NFL today, Stephen Crockett in his article says that they truly believe that if Colin Kaepernick just cut his hair and focused on football, he'd still be playing in the NFL. You know, kind of like how this went down.
The first thing we got to get Colin to do is cut his hair. You know, I mean, listen, I'm not up here to try to be politically correct, but, you know, even if he puts cornrows in it, I don't think he should represent himself, you know, in that way in terms of, you know, just the hairstyle. Just go clean cut. You know, why not? You know, you're already dealing with a lot of controversy surrounding this issue.
That's a fascinating thing to hear you say, Mike.
That he needs to do is, you know, just try to be presentable. I mean, look, so all the social media stuff that he's doing, look, we get it. We understand.
Welcome back. I think that I forgot to hit the on mic air button after I played that Michael Vick clip. So basically, hopefully, you heard the Michael Vick clip about cutting someone's hair. And I was just saying that, you know, in the spirit of today's show, are you sure? I'm sure that the reason Colin Kaepernick doesn't have a job is because he didn't cut his hair. I am sure that I will not be watching the NFL anytime soon. And I'd love to hear from you. What are you sure about in reference to watching or not watching the NFL this season? What are you sure about in terms of what would you call, how would you describe Donald Trump? Are you sure that Jemele Hill should be fired? And after this quick break, we'll get into, are you sure you can learn something from the cookout? That's a metaphor for life. I definitely believe that that is possible. More of the Gregory Neesmith Show after this quick break.